All right, thank you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to those of you who are online. Glad you can join us this morning. We got a slightly different service this morning, special in a couple of different ways, which we'll get to in a few moments. But once again, thank you for being here. It's good. It's good to worship our God together. Let's hear what he has to say to us. Join me in reading God's greeting. I'll read it to you because he's greeting you, greeting us. And then we'll do our call to worship together. This is Isaiah, but of course, Jesus is going to quote this to his hometown as well. So God greets his people a number of times with this particular greeting. He says, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." Regardless of what this week has looked like, he is proclaiming the year of the Lord's favor. Join me in our call to worship. I like this one a lot. It sounds self-congratulating because I write these. I took them from a variety of scriptures because I like what they emphasize. Let's do this together. So you read the all portions. Our God is not far from us. The Lord is near to all who call on him. He hears their cry and saves them. Amen. Let's pray. I love those scriptures, Lord. The scriptures that remind us that you are near. The scriptures that remind us that you listen. The scriptures that remind us that you listen and then respond are dear to us. We need them if we've had a troubling week, whether we are troubled by something personal in our lives or troubled by what we see happening in the world, we need to be reminded that you are near to all who call on you and that you hear our cry and save us. Our God is not far from us. Thank you that you are ever present, our ever present help in times of trouble, scriptures say. And so we look to you. We draw near to you and we claim that scripture that says in James that when we resist the devil, he will flee. And when we draw near to you, you will draw near to us. And that is our act here this morning, Lord. It is an act of drawing near. Even as we sit in our chairs or from the comfort of our home, by giving you our attention, we are drawing near to you. By sitting under your scriptures, we are drawing near to you. By raising our voices in praise or sitting quietly in prayer, it's like we're pulling up a chair next to Jesus, saying, "Lord, we want to be closer to you. We want more of Jesus in our lives, more of his life rubbing off on us, more of his spirit in us." It's friendship, Lord. It's an act of friendship. We say thank you once again for the ways that you extend friendship to us. We've been embracing that in these last number of weeks as we've been talking about listening to you. It's for friendship. Thank you for your patience and grace with your friends. We receive it. Lord, may you make our lives lives that offer you worship by figuring out how to be a better friend to you. Lord, I pray that you'd have your way as we talk about baptism and have commissioning, as we open the scriptures, as we listen, as we pray, as we continue in worship, we're drawing near to you. Have your way among us. In Jesus' name, amen. I'd like to invite Noah Kaju up. Let me just make sure that they can see you on the screen. Looks good. Welcome, Noah.
Thank you.
Good to have you here with us. So as many of you know, Noah's going to YWAM soon, and you've probably, many of you, have read the letter that has been in the weekly emails over these last number of weeks as that decision was made. And then as Noah began raising funds for this trip and this time that he's going to be away, but not everyone necessarily reads those letters or gets those emails. And so we're going to take some time here just to bring people up to speed who maybe haven't heard some of your story. And now they get to hear it from you a little bit more personally than just reading it on the screen there. So can you tell us a little bit, Noah, about why it is that you decided to sign up for YWAM?
So I think I was going to take a gap year for this year right after graduating, and I wasn't exactly sure what I wanted to do during the gap year, but God kind of put it on my heart to look into YWAM, and so me and my mom, we went through all the different places that you start out at, and eventually we decided on Kona for that. And
so, where's Kona?
Kona is in Hawaii. So.
That's a tough choice, right?
And so, yeah, that's kind of why I decided to sign up in the first place.
Okay. So now you're in this position of gap year, and you're thinking, I may want to do something different than university or college or something right away. And so you start looking at your options. And so could you fill people in, for those who maybe aren't familiar with YWAM, Youth with a Mission, a little bit about what it is, what's its focus, and then a little bit about what drew you to that?
Yeah, so I think the first 3 months, we will be in Kona getting discipleship training. And then the final 3 months, we'll be in outreach to any country basically in the world, helping people. And discipling them. And so, yeah, the first 3 months is just going to be focused on how we're able to disciple people and getting trained for that. And there'll be about another 50 people in my specific discipleship training.
Okay. So you're gonna go and spend a little bit of time kind of in class, right? That's what it is. It's a sort of a mentorship class thing where they're pouring into you, and then they're then going to send you out by yourself, or how's that going to work? You're going with 50 people, you said?
Yeah, we're going all together. The 50 of us will go to wherever God sends us to.
So you don't even know yet?
No idea yet.
That's kind of an act of faith, isn't it?
It definitely is, yeah.
It could be Africa.
Could be anywhere, yeah. Could be anywhere.
Could be something a little bit colder than Hawaii.
Yeah. I could be avoiding winter for just a little bit and then going right back to it.
That's right. Okay. So we've heard about some people go to Kona and then they end up getting sent back to the States. Some people go as far as Africa and other places. It's not up to you, right? It's up to those above you and their sense of where God is leading, right? Very cool. And so you've had to pay for this. And so where are your funds at?
I am happy to say that as of right now, the funds are all covered. I'm very thankful to everyone that gave. very, very appreciative. Prayers being answered for sure. So thank you to everyone who is supporting me.
Yes, and when we clap our hands and give thanks there, for those of you who maybe didn't know or don't remember, this is a really big ticket. This was 10 or 11 grand US that you had to raise, right?
Yeah.
Yes. So this is a really big answer to prayer that all of those funds came in, and sort of a confirmation for you, right? That God is in this and he's going to provide for you through the whole time. If he's going to get you there, he's going to get you through it. Mm-hmm. Very cool. And so as many of you know, we are also doing a baptism today. Noah has decided to be baptized. So could you tell us a little bit about the journey towards that's led you up to deciding to be baptized?
Yeah, so I think the two are pretty interconnected between the decision to go to YWAM and then the decision to get baptized. So the YWAM decision is obviously me saying physically that I want to serve the Lord and that that's something that's important to me. And so I need that decision spiritually as well. And so that's where the baptism part comes in. So I think that it's important for me to go in physically wanting to serve the Lord and then knowing spiritually as well that I'm there to serve the Lord. And so that was a big part of it. And then also hearing Matthew 28, where Jesus is telling the disciples that, like, in order to go out and baptize, like, you need to be baptized first. And so I think that's also something important for me for when we're in the outreach. Seeing these people and being able to baptize them, I think that's something that I really want to be a part of. And so it's important that I get baptized first so I'm able to do that.
Yeah, that's great. I love the way that you've been thinking about that and realizing that if I'm going to, first of all, be discipled, what does discipleship mean? And that includes following what Jesus says about being baptized, so that I can then go and help other people in their own discipleship and growth. So good on you for working through that and coming to that conclusion. And I was reviewing some of the material on baptism that we had, and I sent it Noah's way ahead of time. And rather than getting into all of the theology of baptism, what I noticed in some of the material was just there were three very brief images that capture baptism really well. And it's like a wedding, it's like a funeral, and it's like a new birth. It's like a wedding in that this is a lifelong commitment. It's like a funeral in that you are dying to yourself and you're being raised to new life in Christ. It's your life is gone. That's the funeral part. And the new birth is the being raised to life in Christ. And Noah nodded and said, yep, that's me. I'm in on this. I'm going for this. And so that's what we're going to be doing. So all of you are welcome to join us. And any of you who are online as well, we're going to be going down to the river to baptize Noah following the service here. So whether you saw that notice in the email or not, once the service is complete, you just make your way down to, was it 56th Avenue? Yeah, bottom of 56th Avenue on the north side of the river. And park there and find us near the boat launch. And we're going to dunk Noah. Oh, it's pretty exciting. So can we give this guy like a round of applause? This is really fun. This is your church family supporting you, and it's not just financially, right? We are behind you and excited to see what God's doing in your life. Joel, did you want to come up? Joel, and I don't know if you had anyone else. I know Stu is going to be praying as well. We just wanted to take a moment and lay hands on Noah and commission him for what we're sending him off to do. Do you want me to have Stu pray first? I didn't ask you about what you wanted.
Yeah, Stu can pray first.
Okay. So Noah had asked if Stu Duffin would mind praying. And the decision, the reason this wasn't announced earlier is because the final decision for this kind of got made last minute. And so even after that weekly email on Tuesday went out, so this is why there hasn't been a lot of notice and so on. So Stu Duffin is not with us this morning, but I believe he is online and he's going to unmute and turn his video on, and I will make sure that people can see and hear him. And then Stu, we'll let you go in prayer. Is it possible for us to see you, Stu?
Well, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Yes.
I don't
have. Are you there with us,
Stu? Click that.
I have not been given authorization for you to see me, and that's not a huge concern to me.
I could share first, then.
Oh, well, sure. Open. Joel, why don't you go first, and we'll see if we can get Stu on here later.
Yeah, I just wanted to just share about God's faithfulness. Just a little bit. When I got up this morning to pray, and I just felt a rejoicing in my spirit about God's faithfulness. Yeah, it's... To have your son go out on something like YWAM and be baptized in the same day. It's the Lord's faithfulness. This is... This is a day of answered prayer. From both of us and his grandparents, and God was just reminding me so much of his faithfulness. This is our firstborn, and the Lord is in scripture saying, "Give me your firstborn." And so, you know, when Noah was little, we dedicated him here to this church family. And we asked you guys to help us. And so it's just, it's beautiful to be up here with him again. And to celebrate with you guys that he's going to serve the Lord. He's going to follow him. And we couldn't have done it without you guys. The faithfulness of the church. And so anyways, as I got up this morning, and the Lord just, in my spirit, was just rejoicing and just saying that I'm faithful. And so his goodness is overwhelming.
All right, Stu, are you there and available?
Yes, I am here. Noah, can you hear me?
I'm not seeing or hearing anything. Okay. I've been praying for you regardless. I've been praying for you for a long time. Here we go. Hi, Stu.
Hello.
Still not hearing it.
Can you hear me now?
On my end, though. Let me just check something here. I may have. I can hear you, but
I guess I'll ask Noah. Can you hear me?
There we go. Stu, I think we'll be able to hear you now.
Good morning.
There we go.
Coming to you all the way from BC. And the main person I want to hear me is Noah. So as long as you can hear me, Noah, that's important. it is certainly an honor and a privilege to pray for you here this morning. And to watch you not only moving forward, going to Kona, but even your baptism today. How exciting. And I wish I was there, because I was there for your dad's. And I hope it is a wonderful time as you go through this step, showing God and everybody around that you are moving forward and you mean business for God. And yes, truly, he is faithful. So I would just like to pray for you here this morning. And as you go through this commissioning time and heading out, totally trusting in God and his provisions, but know that you have a body of believers right here that are going to be praying for you continually. So let's just bow and pray for this guy. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for this day. What a special day. I thank you, God, for all your blessings and goodness to us. And I thank you for this young fella who I have known pretty well since he was born. And just watching him, Father, as he has grown up in the church, his parents and the people around him building him up, growing him in character, and the way that you shape and molded him, Father, into this young Christian man. I just thank you for that. I thank you for the friendship that I have enjoyed with him. Whether it's through every day or just church life and even playing hockey around the world with him, not only as just a sport, but a ministry, Father. I thank you for his compassion for people. Mm-hmm. He is a caring soul. And I just pray that you would continue to grow him that way. Lord, I thank you for the obedience he's showing today. His decision to say, I am yours, and to follow after that lead through going to Kona, but also through baptism. I ask, God, that you would just go before him. And God, you would guide his steps, his path. I also ask, God, that you would walk close beside him so that he can lean on you and have that constant communication, talking and listening. I pray that you would also walk behind him to encourage, to push, that he might press on in the direction that you would have him to go. I know, Lord, you have so many plans for him. And here he is. He is willing and ready to serve. I pray with that you would be his strength in his challenges. We know there are so many along the road, but when we know that you have, that we have you there with us, those challenges can become small. I pray that you would be his joy in the victories, and I pray for many of those. And I pray you would be his Savior and God in all his moments, that he would totally rely on you. It will be different. He's going to be away from home. He's going to be away from the people that are common in his life. I thank you that we have communication opportunities, that we can do this sort of thing even when we're distant. But he will be away from the physical presence of those who are common and loved in his life. So I pray, God, that you would put people around him that would build him up,
yes,
that would encourage him in his walk, people that he can confide in and just be able to share life, joys, challenges, all of those things. I pray that there would be people around him that he can just enjoy that conversation with. May they be the ones that really encourage him along this walk. And I also pray, God, that he will totally rely on the Spirit's leading each day. Father, speak to him. Allow him to hear your voice for all his purpose and his life. I thank you for my brother Noah. For his example of moving forward with you and his desire to learn and serve with his life. Father, remind us often of Noah through our days. Help us each, those on the screen, those in the church, to keep him in our prayers. We ask, Father, that you would protect him as he goes. I pray that you would bless him as he serves. And may he be bold in his faith and be a blessing to others. I pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we want to see you fill Noah to overflowing with your Spirit, not only for his sake, but for the sake of the nations that you are sending him to. So Lord, as Jesus says in John, that out of your belly will flow rivers of living water, and he said this about the Spirit. Lord, would you so pour into Noah that everyone else around him receives something from you because of what you do in his life. So Lord, we are here to commission him, to send him off as one of our family members going to seek you and to serve you. And I pray that both would happen in great measure and that there would be an amazing result that comes from it, not only in Noah's life, but in the lives of the people that you introduce him to. I think of what Sarah said when we were singing at the end there, that the seed I've received, I will sow. And I pray that that would be something that is very, very true of Noah in these coming weeks and months. I pray you would sow many seeds into him and that he would then go out and share them with others. So into others. And I pray that there be a harvest because of what you're doing.
Yes.
So Lord, we entrust him to you as his brothers and sisters, as his family. He's going with you, which means he's safe. And I pray that you would remind him of that. And I pray that he would hear your voice clearly, as Stu said, that you would grow and deepen the friendship with him in these coming weeks and months. Thank you, Lord, that you are one who goes ahead and one who hems us in from behind as well. Where can we go from your presence? Go with him, Lord. Thank you. Bless him and fill him.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. All right. We've been talking about listening for a while, and we're going to continue that. But I've told you that we're going to start talking about how to filter what it is that we are hearing, or think we are hearing from the Lord. Let me start with a story. I'm just lifting this story from Bill Johnson's sermon on listening that I recommended to you guys. But he tells the story of a family driving through some mountains, and their little kids in the back seat. And one of the little kids, the little son, speaks up and says to his dad who's driving, there's a rock on the road around the corner. You want to slow down? And his dad, okay. So they slow down and they go around the corner, and sure enough, there's a rock on the road. And it was a good thing that they got warned in time. And so his parents are just rejoicing that their son can hear from God. And they're like, what else is he saying to you? And the son speaks up and says that we should stop at McDonald's at the next town. And the question, of course, for us is, how do we filter and process the words that we are hearing from God, or the words that other people are speaking to us and saying, this is what God is saying? We need to come up with a grid for that. And God has given it to us. And so we're going to unpack that in the next number of weeks. But we're going to continue listening at the same time. Okay. We hear lots of different things. We hear lots of things from the world, right? We can hear from our own sinful nature as well. We can hear from the enemy as well. All of these have voices, right? So how do we know how to work through these voices? We have a few different sources that can help us. And the first one, as you know, is Scripture. And that's the only one I'm going to focus on today. There are other ones, but we're going to start by talking about Scripture. There's a word that is not used in Scripture, but is used of Scripture, and it's sometimes called a canon. If you've heard this word before, it's a fancy word. What it basically means is a measuring stick. It's a way of, when we call Scripture canon, it's a way of saying that we measure everything else against this. These are the Scriptures that we believe God is speaking through, and nothing else compares to these. That's not a claim that the Bible itself makes. It's a claim, actually, that the church makes on behalf of the Bible. But the way that that came about makes us think that this was God's way of sort of ensuring that we understood that these were his words in a way that all other words weren't, or in a way that all other words needed to be measured against these words. What happened was, as the New Testament writers were sending out their letters, their gospels, and so on to their own particular churches, the churches were using the Old Testament Scriptures at the time in their worship services. And when they started getting a letter from Paul or a gospel from Luke or something like that, they started using those in their worship times alongside their Old Testament Scriptures, until it came to the point, as the church broadly speaking, that they came to agree that what we're hearing in these Old Testament Scriptures and what we're hearing in these new things match and line up. And it came to a point where, although there were other letters, and you may have heard of a Gospel of Thomas and an Epistle of Barnabas or something like that, there are a variety of other things that got circulated around. The church read enough of those and at the same time went, no, that's a different quality than what we see here in these new letters we've got from Paul and Luke and so on, and in the Old Testament. And so it was a very sort of organic thing. It didn't happen in the academy as much as is sometimes presented. It was much more about this, the church learning to worship together and the hearing and discerning the voice of God in this book that we put together as a book in a way that we didn't hear the voice of God in these other letters and so on. So that's why Scripture is called canon. But we need to understand a little bit about what the function of these Scriptures are, or is, excuse me. And Jesus makes it very, very clear. This is just one of the most important verses on Scripture, that Scripture has about itself. Jesus is speaking, And he says, you search the scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. The function of the scriptures is to point us to Jesus. Now, Jesus comes and says, I reveal the Father. If anyone has seen me, they have seen the Father. In other words, the God of scripture, the God of creation, is the one that the scriptures point to. So whether we say that they point to Jesus or not, we do say that they point to Jesus, but Jesus is the one revealing God himself. So we could just as easily read these scriptures and say, you search the scriptures because you think that they give you eternal life, but it's the scriptures that point to God. It's the scriptures that point to me. That's the function of scripture. So anytime that we hear anything else, we come back to scripture because it's the canon, it's the measuring stick against which we measure all other words, anything else that we hear, because we know that in scripture, we have God's authoritative voice. Okay? And we need that. I'm considering doing some bathroom renovations. And so I was taking a picture of our bathroom and I was sending it to my dad, who's really good at this kind of stuff. And he's looking down at our floor and he's seeing that there's ceramic tile on the floor. And he's like, how wide are those tiles? Like, what size are those tiles? Are those 12-inch tiles? I'm like, I think so. Looks about right. Like, I'm just kind of eyeballing it, right? And he's like, well, no, go get your measuring stick, right? Like, go get your tape measure, right? Because they don't just come. It's not like just 4-inch and 12-inch. I can eyeball the difference between 4-inch and 12-inches, right? But what if it's 11 or what if it's 13? It's a good thing that we pulled out that tape measure because they weren't 12 inches. And our whole bathroom project would have been royally messed up if he just started making his calculations based on my eyeball. In other words, even when we hear something and we think that's God and we perceive that it sounds and looks pretty accurate, we still go back to our canon. We still go back to our scriptures to say, does this line up? Because the scriptures are what points to Jesus, and they're the authority, not my best eyeball interpretation. Does that make sense? I hope so. Our scripture is our testimony about who God is, about what he's like, and about what he's doing. And since we know God's words, then when we hear anything else in listening prayer, we measure it against the scriptures. Because if it contradicts the scriptures, then it's not God. So, for example, there are people out there that will say, all roads lead to God. And we take that word and we go back to scripture. And what does scripture say? There's only one way, and it's through Jesus, right? So we filter it through what we already know through scripture. And if it doesn't fit, we reject it. I'll give you a different example. As I was starting to prepare, I just come back from vacation back in August. I was starting to prepare and starting to ask, like, Lord, what's our next stretch? What do we need to be paying attention to in this next stretch? And how do I focus on that in the teaching time? And I was sitting right back there in the corner, just praying and then listening. And I think I hear, and I've told you before what I mean by I think I hear, like it's like an impression of words. It's not like audible voice or something like that. But what I think I hear is my people need to learn to listen. And so, you know, I just mentioned to you a few moments ago, we've got the world, the flesh, and the devil that all have voices, right? So I start processing through that grid. Like, well, it's not the world. And the devil is not going to be telling me to tell other people to start listening and paying more attention to God. That's so we can rule that one out. Well, it could just be me, but my immediate response when I thought I heard that word was, no thanks, I don't want to do that. I actually did not want to preach a series on listening to God. As much as I shared before, I have been on this quest for the last year to hear more and more clearly from God. I had no desire to share that with anyone. And my main reason for that, as I was telling God, was I feel like such a rookie in this. I do not want to teach something I don't yet have a good grasp of. That's part of my own insecure personality. So I argued with God all week long about it. But did you see the filtering process there? It wasn't the world, it wasn't the devil, and it wasn't my flesh. And so now I'm going to submit it to Scripture. And I had already been doing that over the last year, but I'm going to walk you through it anyway. Are there scriptures now that talk about listening to the voice of God? I hope I get a resounding yes. That's what we've been doing for 6 or 7 weeks. Yes, there are lots and lots of scriptures that talk about listening to the voice of God. My sheep hear my voice, right? We've been quoting that one week after week after week. And so at the very least, I knew that what I had heard or thought I heard fit with Scripture. Now, there's further steps for discernment down the line and so on, and we'll talk about those in the subsequent weeks. But all I wanted to illustrate at that point was we recognize that there are a variety of voices out there, and so that's one of the reasons why we need to filter. And our first filter is going to be Scripture, because we can't claim it's God if it doesn't fit with Scripture. Now, we did a listening prayer time last week after the service. We've been doing it in the service from time to time, but after the service, we came back here at 1 o'clock and we had a small group of people that were joining us to sort of take some further steps on growing in listening prayer. And that went pretty well. And it was interesting and helpful. A number of people shared the way that they hear from God, which is very different than others of us. And so we were learning from each other a little bit. And Marcus and I were chatting and praying after about how that time went. And Marcus has been hearing from God unusually clearly. It's not perfect, and he's growing in it, but he's hearing with a clarity that I've never seen before, and which just creates all sorts of challenges as a parent, but it's also a great blessing. And so, Marcus, do you want to come up and just share? I just want to hear like the sentence or two that you said that you heard as we were praying and listening afterwards. You'll have to take your mask off, buddy. And I asked him to write it down. Can you just read for us what it was that you heard about our listening prayer time in our series?
People are afraid to listen to me. I know they all want to come into a deeper connection with me, but they can't have that. That can't happen unless they learn to listen.
So the first line was, can you just repeat that first line?
People are afraid to listen to me.
Yeah, that's great. Good job. Thanks, buddy. People are afraid to listen to me. Now we're going to practice what I just taught. Okay? So I want you to take that word. So whether Marcus heard it or whether you heard it makes no difference. Right? What I want you to do is take that word. People are afraid to listen to me. I want you to pause, close your eyes, and do your best to filter that through Scripture. So pray and test it. How would you bring Scripture to that particular word? Okay, all done. If we had more time, I'd probably have us interact, but we're not going to do that this morning. I just wanted you to take a stab at it. Why would people be afraid to hear from the Lord? If you can't come up with a scripture that's sort of chapter and verse for an answer to that question, approach it through Scripture from a different angle. What are the reasons that you would see in Scripture for people not wanting to hear from the Lord? Selfishness, lack of desire to have someone else tell them what to do, pride, wanting to be our own master, unwillingness to change, protecting perhaps some sinful habit that we've been holding on to for a long time. There are any number of reasons. And when you start looking at it from that perspective, then that word about people can, some people are afraid to hear from God, actually does make a lot of sense. But what we've done is evaluate it against Scripture. And that's what we need to be doing. So does it fit Scripture that some people are proud and wouldn't want to hear from God, or some people don't have a desire not to change and therefore don't want to hear God say otherwise? Yes, it does fit. Some of us are afraid. So I would encourage all of us to sit before the Lord and ask, is there any fear or anything holding me back from wanting to listen to you? If you've been going through this series and from time to time, what's been striking you as, I don't actually know if I want to do that, maybe God's identifying a reason for that. Maybe it has to do with a fear or something that we're protecting inside. So evaluate your own life against Scripture and that word. I'd like to close with a practical example of how to listen. And I shared this at our listening prayer time, and someone came up to me afterwards and said, I didn't understand. So I want to do it again and give you some more clarity, because it's a really helpful way to start learning to listen. There's a guy named Sean Gaby who says that getting a word from the Lord is a little bit like a Kleenex box. And you get one at a time, and you don't get the second sometimes until you pulled out the first, until you've acknowledged the first. And so writing down what it is that you are hearing is a way of sort of getting from the first word to the second. It can be really helpful sometimes. And sometimes what happens is you don't recognize whether or not something is from God until you've pulled out a few Kleenexes, right? Until you have a little bit more to weigh, a little bit more to compare with Scripture. And so what I would suggest that you do is do what is called two-way journaling. All it means is that you grab your pen and a piece of paper and you write your prayer to God. It can be one line. Lord, what should I be doing with my day? And then pause, close your eyes. I invite you to find a way to focus on God. Don't simply just let your mind wander, but focus on God. Picture him. Picture the cross. Picture something that will help you keep your focus on God. And listen for a response. But remember that as we've been talking about God's voice comes in a variety of forms. And some of them are pictures and images and thoughts, random words, impressions, feelings. And as you've seen in some previous weeks, we can back all of those up with Scripture references. I can provide them for you later. But when we talk about listening for the voice of God, those are the things that we're looking for. And so whatever it is that comes to mind, or whether it's the picture, whether it's the word or something, write it down. This is what I think God may have said. And then write your response to him and start a little bit of a conversation. Pull out a few Kleenexes. So do that repeatedly, right? Get a few more words. Don't filter. I know it sounds counterintuitive, but don't filter it right away, because the moment that you start filtering right away, you'll stop the flow of the conversation. But if you get enough of the conversation and you've pulled out a few Kleenexes and you've done your line and then God's line and then your line and then God's line, after you're done that conversation, then take what you wrote and measure it against Scripture. Then take what it is that you believe that you heard, and start to go, how does this line up with Scripture? See, you've let the conversation happen, and you've let it flow, you've let the Spirit do his work in you, and now you take it back to God in prayer through the Scriptures and say, Lord, how does this line up? Show me where this lines up with your heart and where it doesn't. Does that make sense? We always take it back to the Scriptures, because that is our sure word that this is God's authentic testimony of who he is, that he is speaking in this way. But then once we have our words written down, we can go back to scripture and say, how much do these line up? And don't think of it in terms of hit or miss. Think of it more in terms of like the bullseye, which has a variety of spots in between, you know, the bullseye and the complete miss. And so there are going to be things that you're going to write down that are going to be closer to the bullseye than others, and things that you're going to write down that you thought were from God that are going to be further away. But scripture is going to help you evaluate how close it is, right? And that's part of the ongoing conversation. So as we continue to listen, I encourage you to start listening, writing things down, if that's what helps you get from word to word. And then you take what you've got and go back to scripture. So do your two-way journaling. It'll give you something to evaluate, and you'll be able to tell a little bit more effectively as you're learning what God's voice sounds like. It'll help. Next week, we're going to talk about a different filter, so that's not the only one. God's given us a variety of them, but two-way journaling will play into that one as well. It'll help as well. Let's pray. Lord, there have been some fears that may have been identified. There have been some practices that we can initiate or continue. Ultimately, we want to have greater clarity on who you are and how you're speaking to us, because we want to know you more. We want to hear from you. We just had an example earlier of someone who's going to be baptized because you've been speaking and he's been responding. Lord, we want that more in our lives. So we'll take these experiments and we'll go back to scripture and we'll say, Lord, is this you? Show me in scripture. We love your word, because it's there that we see and hear you. So Lord, help us to recognize the other words in light of what we hear and see in scripture. You have so richly blessed us by the way that you speak, by the ways that you are drawing near. Lord, would you continue to draw us nearer to you? May we always give you rightful place in our lives. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. In Jesus' name, amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Blessings, everyone. Go in peace. Thanks for being here with us this morning. Have a good day.